Let us pray. O thou most holy and eternal Lord God, how we need thee now to solemnize our minds and our hearts as we gather on this solemn yet sacred occasion. We do pray for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and sweetly felt. May thy house here be the house of God to us and the gateway to heaven. We pray for thy divine help through this service, whether we speak or whether we hear. And oh, we would commit to thee the dear family and their great loss. And we pray that thou wilt uphold them and strengthen them and help them and comfort them at this time and in the days to come. And oh, we seek that everything may be done this day to thy honour and to thy glory. And do sanctify this loss, Lord, not only to the dear loved ones, but to us as a church and people, and to each of us gathered. And may we each be prepared for that great day when flesh and blood shall fail. Oh, that it may be well with us while life endure, and where we're called to die. We do pray thou wilt forgive all our many, many sins, and do grant us each a token for good this day. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. We will sing the first hymn on the hymn sheet. These hymns were all chosen by our beloved sister. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must thy work perform, for it is all of grace. The first hymn on the hymn sheet.
Lord, burn and be born.
read three short portions from God's holy word. First from the book of Deuteronomy, a few verses from chapter 33. Commence in verse 23. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thine excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And then Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. In the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then a few verses from John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. From verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you for ever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and manifest myself to him. From verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. May the Lord richly bless those sacred portions to each of our souls. We will sing the second hymn. We've no abiding city here. This may distress the worldling's mind, but should not cost the saint a tear who hopes a better rest to find. The second hymn on the hymn sheet. friends, it is a great honour one feels to have been the favoured pastor to have our beloved sister as a member of this church for over 70 years. And in these last 15 years, of course, I've been her pastor. And her love and affection to myself and my wife have been so manifest in so many ways. And we, as a church, have lost a pillar. And you, as a dear family, have lost a real praying, exercise mother and grandmother and great-grandmother. Her prayers have ended. But may it please the Lord that those prayers may yet be answered. All that she poured out before the God of heaven for each of you. Secondly, I would convey our deepest sympathy to you in your great loss, both to Joanna and Philip and Priscilla and each one of the family. Because as I read, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And may the Lord favour you in the days to come to truly feel and to know that comfort. Now, our beloved sister had a very long life, nearly 100 years. And she's left a good deal of writings which I haven't time today to go through all of them. No doubt the family will let many of you read them at leisure. But I would begin by saying that she especially requested, and she has conveyed it to me, that whatever is said may be for the honour and glory of God, and nothing to do with her. She was the wonderful recipient of the goodness and mercy and grace of God, but she was ever willing to be nothing, that the Lord Jesus may be the all and in all. I will just look at a few things concerning her naturally. In her early days, our dear sister Frieda was the daughter of George and Grace Dan. She was born on the 23rd of July 1920. The first 3 years of her life she lived at Azor Villa, and then her parents moved to the large farmhouse near the family mill where her father worked. She started school at the age of 6 at a small private school and had to walk about a mile to the school each way. At 9 she moved to Hailsham Ordinary School and was there until she was 11. Then she went to the secondary school at Bexhill and left there at 16. She then went to London to train as a children's nanny. Her first job was looking after children for a Jewish couple in London, just as the Second World War was declared. They went from London to Brighton for safety. She was not happy there and was able to get her job looking after an 8-month-old baby in Eastbourne. But as the war developed, the family were evacuated to Devon. She was very sad having to live so far from home and no chapel to go to. And her two brothers were in the army. Hearing of a children's nursery at Penshurst, she applied for a job and was accepted. During the next 5 years, at three different nurseries, experiencing many sad and at times frightening experiences which the war brought with it. After the war she was able to come home to help her mother and collect eggs from her brother's deep litter house and grade and pack the eggs for the packing station. Oh, the joy and freedom that she enjoyed with the war over. In 1955, she married her husband, who was a farmer, and she moved to Wiltshire and helped her husband on the farm. They were favoured with three children. She has six grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren. Now, that is a little of the natural side of our beloved friend in her early days. In 1994, she had these words spoken to her one night: "Gather up the fragments that remain." And at once, she said, "I felt it meant record a little of what I hoped the Lord had done for me." My first remembrance of any thought of God is when I was 6 or 7 years old. I was playing with my younger brother under the large dining room table and was telling him what a schoolgirl had written in my autograph album. As I did so, suddenly felt guilt before God for repeating it. I felt his eye was looking at me, and I shall not quite feel the guilt that she did. She felt so much the guilt that she did as she spoke against God and what was written in the autograph album. And though she was under the table, she said, she felt the eyes of the Lord were looking on her. Even as I was under that table, and I've never forgotten that solemn time and how I felt. I tore the page out of the autograph album as soon as I could. Soon after that, I was sleeping in a little camp bed at the foot of my parents' bed. We must have had visitors at the time. And before I went to sleep, these words came. I believe right into my heart, "If I am found in Jesus' hands, my soul can ne'er be lost." I remember now the sweet childlike trust and security that seemed to accompany those words, and I felt safe if I could only find them there. I was 7 at this time. I went to another school when 9 and suffered much unkindness from the head teacher, which I found hard to bear as a small child. My elder brother was at the secondary school. When I was 11, I had an exam to take and passed to go to this school. So I badly wanted to go and knew my parents could not afford to send me privately. But I found a desire to pray about it. This I did in my simple way for some months, but was much cast down and bitterly disappointed when my name was not on the passed list. Somehow I was kept praying over it. And then she goes on to say, I remember the time well and the secret spot when she received a letter saying that she had been accepted to go. I cannot describe the happiness I felt, not just because of going to the school, but more because my prayers had been heard and answered. How wonderful that was to me. I will always look back on this as my first real answer to my poor prayers. Here I must pass over several years, but I believe I had longings to hear about better things, and many a time would be secretly listening to older people talking together, though trying not to show too much interest. When I was 18, I went to Little Wright Chapel one Lord's Day evening. I believe I went with a longing desire for something special from the Lord. Our late beloved pastor, Mr. Sperling Tyler, was preaching, and he preached from what I just read to you in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. She goes on, that was a special time to me. I felt I could say from my heart that I did desire that one thing, Jesus. I felt my heart drawn to him who I so wanted to know and love. The sweetness of that sermon abode with me for some time, but it was not until about 9 years after that I felt I could say I could come in with the last part to behold the beauty of the Lord, though feeling drawn to him at that time. So many times it has been, 'tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? The war broke out when I was 19, and many changes came. I had to train in London and as a children's nanny, and I had been able to attend dear Mr. Jesse Dell's ministry, and was much attached to that ministry. And the dear people there, I had to remain in a similar work until peace came, and I was released in April 1947 to return home and attend this chapel, the Deacon, a place where I long to be once more. The war came. The war came with many anxieties and many troubles to families. I was moved from place to place, and over 1 year had to remain in Devon. And oh, what an effect this had on her. She said, this was desolation indeed. And I often felt so dead and lifeless and wondered if there ever had been life in my soul. Yet I look back, being unable to speak of anything in particular. I can only say, who could have kept that spark alive? But he who I trust planted it in my poor heart. Yet I hope I was kept tender and feared to be drawn into wrong company. I know one thing, I didn't want the world and its enticing entertainments. So I so often feared. I did not know sin as the Lord's people did, and this troubled me much. I cannot speak of being led into its depths as some can. May the dear Lord ever keep me honest. But as I write this many years later, I have to say, I am sin. Sins of thought, deed and word. The solemn thing is, it shows itself within solemnly, so I cannot control these thoughts that come so unlooked for in my heart and mind. Some months after the war ended, in answer to many, many cries to be released, I was able once more to return home to the Deacon and able to attend the services regularly once again. How I valued this. I had much to be thankful for, each of us being preserved, two brothers being in the army. It was not long before I was brought into very deep trouble inwardly concerning a certain matter, which had long exercised my mind. This had brought me very low. But blessed be God, the time was near when he himself was to change the scene and draw me away from any desire for earthly happiness. And I find he was all I wanted. These deep waters brought me very low. On August Bank Holiday 1947, I went to Burgess Hill Anniversary feeling very cast down and distressed. The text was, "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me." This was exactly how I felt when dear Mr. Sperling Tyler, a beloved pastor, started the evening service. It was not long before he preached Jesus, and I began to feel such a drawing to him. My cast down heart melted. I felt such love. This seemed to increase more and more. It was as if I saw him whom my soul loveth and runneth after him. What a difference there was in my sad, desolate heart. For when I went to chapel that night, my trouble and grief before me were all gone. And then she goes on, my urgent longing desire to know him, I cannot describe how I felt. How I longed for the next service to come. The house of God was my delight. The Lord Jesus was so precious to me. Hymn 1040 8 was my own language. We've no abiding city here, but especially this line on heaven, Zion's its name, the Lord is there. Heaven was heaven to me, because the Lord himself was there. I remember the sweetness. I felt those few words, though now many years later. Shortly after this, I went to a baptizing service, still feeling the love and sweetness of that love to the Lord in my heart, though up and down at times. This occasion brought me into a new and another trial and deep exercise. I felt a longing desire to follow Jesus himself, but how could I walk in this solemn path? This exercise became heavier and my sin and unworthiness grew greater. This continued for some weeks. Satan and all his constant temptations harassed me sorely, but it was not until the Lord spoke these words, "Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you." And he was gone, and I was enabled to venture to our pastor's door. What a conflict it was. Those few weeks I shall never forget while memory lasts. The dear Lord was so good to me, such a sinful sinner, and I was helped to speak of his leadings, and how precious the Lord Jesus was to me. And then she came to her baptism, and I will read to you what your late beloved pastor, Mr. Sperling Tyler, said to her, as she stood at the top of this pool in 1947. Here no strangers dared to intrude, but the Prince of Peace could sit, cheered with sacred solitude, wrapped in contemplation sweet. Yet how little could they see why he chose Gethsemane. And then he said this to her, "Come this way, my dear child. I should address you as my dear sister in the Lord Jesus. And I hope the Lord has given me this word for you on this blessed occasion. If it is from him, it will last. He'll cover everything. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now we will seek to follow, beholding the place where the Lord laid him. Your desire is, I speak the honours of my King, his form divinely fair. None of the sons of mortal race may with the Lord compare. And then he baptised her. And then he said this. We would only say just a few words. Bless God for this sweet privilege. We wept in the pool, not tears of sorrow, but tears of joy. Back to what she said, and I'll be brief. A short while after I was baptised, the hymn 34, a sweet line in it was given out. That Father, Son and Holy Ghost to save our souls were all concerned. Later on at the prayer meeting, one evening, 539 was given out. Last verse, which you'll find at the front of the hymn sheet, was made such a blessing to her soul. And oh may, and I'll read it to you, it be applied to each of us. The time will shortly come when you with sweet surprise will find yourself at home with Christ above the skies, with him to live, with him to reign, and never, never part again. Every word seemed to be for me. It was wonderful. I felt overcome by the power and the assurance of it. How good it was, the sweetness and wonder of it lasted many days. So precious to my poor soul, and such a sinful, undeserving sinner as I felt to be. And then the week before she passed away, she quoted it again, and she said it seemed every word of that seemed to be for me. And then we find how wonderfully in 2002 she spoke these words. One day I was sitting in my chair, mourning over my sin and fearing that hell would be my dread sentence and my just desert. I reasoned thus, if I am sent to hell, how can I bear to be away from the dear Lord Jesus? I could not even ask him to help me bear the pain or torment. I thought of the dear Lord Jesus suffering at hell for his people. What he suffered, no tongue can tell. These words came softly but powerfully into my sorrowing heart. The curse thou never shalt endure. It was a wonderful moment. I felt the dear Lord Jesus had suffered that hell that was due to me. the curse must be borne by someone. And humbly I could say, I believe, for a few moments especially, I was given faith to believe he had borne it for me. This blessed time remained so vigorously in my heart, fervently in my heart. Oh, that I could love him more. And this verse 2 in hymn 920, this line in verse 922, and see his dear sacred face. Many days have passed since those early blessings, many mercies I have known, but many dark days, many fears and Satan's vile temptations to combat with. Sometimes it seems that the devil will have dominion over me. How I need the mighty power of God to keep me near himself. I remember last year she phoned me on one occasion and said, I think my time is short. She said, you know, I believe I'm going to be with Jesus. And she said, I wanted to say goodbye to you. Well, the Lord has spared her since then. But just before her end, those words were so precious to her, what I read in John 14. Because I live, ye shall live also. And beloved friends, all her hope was in her dear Redeemer. She was a member here, as I said earlier, for 70 years. And those words of Jesus kept following me this morning. And I will lovingly set them before you. What he said to his disciples, ye are they that have continued with me in my temptations. Beloved friends, she continued to the end. Will we continue to the end? You know, man naturally will die, but with the Lord's dear children, he will give them grace to continue. And they continue to the end steadfastly. Many said to her, and she, I remember her telling me so clearly, why didn't you transfer your membership to Wiltshire? After being moved there in 1955, she used to come back, we know, a lot here to sit at the Lord's table. Why didn't you transfer your membership? Well, when Mr. Tyler, Sperling Tyler, received her into the church, he said to her this, what I read in Deuteronomy, the blessing of Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full of the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. He gave her that in 1947. He was a true prophet in that word. 1955, she moved to the west. She said to me, I'm living the west, possess thou the west. I live in the west, but I'm a member in the south. And you know, she lived that out. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, to continue in one church all those years, faithfully. So we have lost a pillar. And like in natural things, whenever a pillar is moved from a building, the building is weakened. We feel the loss. Well, I do personally. We miss her prayers, we shall miss her desires, we shall miss her company. But I say that to the honour and glory of God. She is now freed from all the sorrow. We read, don't we? God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He has done so with her. Word of warning, and I'll be done. The day of death will come to each of us. Have we that good hope she had beyond the grave? Have we had, and do we desire to have, all our sins forgiven? She had it. The Lord gave her it. That's the passport for glory. Without it, we're perishing our sin, and hell will be our portion. Think of that solemn issue. As we breathe our last breath, we shall launch in worlds unknown. But oh, that it may be, we're sheltering in the wounded side of the dear Redeemer. That's where she sheltered, and under his precious blood. That's why it was well with her. Well, may the Lord forgive anything that one has spoken amiss, and bless his own word. We will sing the third hymn on the hymn sheet. Jesus, engrave it on my heart, that thou the one thing needful art. I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. The third hymn. Do you, Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do be with us now as we go to the grave. Oh, do come, dear Lord, and support and help and comfort the dear family. Thou knowest what they each need. And oh, we pray for thy presence to be with us each. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.